Icann 51, Los Angeles, October 15th, 2014, NARALO monthly meeting. Directors.
Hello, everybody online. Oh, I'm getting a feedback. I got to get one second. Yes, Eduardo. Those who are online are in Indigo. Can you identify yourself? We're going to wait a couple of minutes. We have a delay because many of our participants and staff are tied up in another meeting on alternative DNS. So please be patient. We'll do the. We'll start the meeting in a few minutes. Just doing a sound test. Gordon and Tom that are remote, can you guys confirm that you can hear us? Okay, we're already 6 minutes past our start time, so I'd like to start fairly soon. Okay, let's start. Okay, Ariel, can we do the roll call?
Actually, each person is saying their name.
Sorry?
No roll call. They won't be.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, okay, great. Thank you. Okay, let's start. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be starting. There will be a few other people coming in a little bit late, but Ariel, can we start? Okay. Okay, can we put the agenda into the Adobe, please? Okay, just technical-wise, Tom and Gordon online do not have their audio working, so. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm the, I guess you would say, the substitute for the chair. That's normally Garth. Unfortunately, Garth could not join us today, so we are going to have a short break in our normal agenda to talk a little bit about Dr. Robert Bruin, commonly known as Bob. And if many of you, probably Al in particular, has met Bob, I'd spent some quality time with Bob in Argentina. Very passionate individual. And we have a picture that we'd like to show you. And then I'd like to read the obituary for Bob. Bob passed away after a very difficult bout of cancer. He was, it was fairly... came on fairly suddenly in conversation with Garth, and then he had some surgery last week. Unfortunately, it didn't go as well as he expected, so we definitely pass our condolences to the Bruin family. But I'd like to, if I can have the picture, please. Okay. Okay. Dr. Robert Bob Bruin, co-founder of NewJohn, passed away peacefully on October 7th, 2014. After a brave battle with cancer, Bob brought his four decades of system administration, network security, and policy experience to Project NewJohn. The system used for NewJohn process was converted from one supporting a process of discovering new prime numbers with 36 credited to Bob. Bob represented our ALS for the first time in ICANN 33 in Cairo and attended the meetings in Toronto and Buenos Aires. Prior to being involved in our Internet Accountability and Anti-Abuse Project, Bob also ran labs at MIT, the Whitehead Genome Project, PerkinElmer, and Archon. Bob held degrees at Harvard, Northeastern University, Boston, and Boston College. In addition to his not-for-profit work at NewJohn, Bob was most recently employed at Mesoatmospheric Research Forecasting and Research Center. His dedication to supporting systems and supporting society was unparalleled. Bob's body has been donated to Harvard Medical School, where his lifelong journey of discovery continues. So I'd like to ask us for a minute of silence in memory of Thank you very much. I'd like to open to the floor. Does anyone has any stories or memories of Bob? Anyone remotely or in the room? Okay. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the review of our action items. I don't see them on the list here. Maybe Ariel, do you have a separate link for the action items? Okay, if they're not coming up, we'll table that item, please. And so let's move to item number four, the update on operations. And unfortunately, Garth is not here to do his report, but we've been, I'll give my short report on the Secretariat's operational activities. We've had a really busy year with Norello. We've gone through elections. As you know, we only had one election, and we also had a number of activities. You've seen ballots for CWG. We've been very active in our outreach in the past year, and again, trying to maintain the relationship between each of our ALSs. The second item in our list is the vice chair. That has been a discussion that Garth has and I have been discussing in one of our meetings as an action item. We had requested to the community for people expression of interest to for a position of vice chair. Other RALOs have that in their roster, and we've had discussions with Alan in terms of procedures, and maybe I can turn it over to Alan in terms of the proper process moving forward if we as a group decide to have the position with our RALO of vice chair position. Please, Alan.
The answer is relatively simple. We don't have to really do anything except decide to do it. There is no explicit provision in our rules, but there is no rule against it either. The position of vice chair does not come with any fiduciary rights to spend money or things like that, which is similar to the chair, of course. So it's really a matter of if we want to try it, then let's do it. We could go through a process of amending our operating procedures first, but to be honest, I don't really see a need for that. We will have a set of changes coming up in the near future, just because we found a number of errors and things to correct, and it's probably time for an overall review, and that's probably a good time to put it in if we want to. But I would suggest we try it first for a while and see if it has any real merit.
Great, thank you. Evan, you just came in, and the part of the agenda we're discussing is the idea of adding the position of vice chair, and Alan just gave the procedural approach to it. It's as he summed it up. Any comments?
At this point in time, I had previously given the issue some thought. I guess at the time I sort of took the position of what problem is this trying to solve, essentially taking the position of why bother fixing something that isn't broken. Traditionally what's happened is when there has been an issue with somebody not able to travel or something like that, we've had a reasonable consensus process to be able to pick somebody to travel in their place. That happened here with Tony, to take the place of Garth when he couldn't come. And all things considered, we were able to do that relatively quickly. So frankly, in terms of a process, previously we've had situations when the chair isn't able to act. The secretary acts in their absence on procedural matters. I don't know if that's codified, but that's essentially what has been happening anyway. So I'll go back to say I'm not quite sure what's broken that needs fixing by creating the position. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. Anyone else want to comment on the adoption of an additional position of vice chair for RALO? Also, people that are remote, please put your hand up. Alan, please.
I guess my personal position is similar to Evan. However, if there is a case to be made for it, I'd like to understand what that is, and maybe I missed it on a previous meeting. At least a summary of the things that we believe we need a vice chair for, or what needs to be chaired. I know part of the reason was trying to bring people up and get them involved, in preparation for potentially taking some leadership position. I'm personally not convinced you need a title to do that, but I'm not overly against it if a moderate case can be made.
Thank you, Alan. Tony, please.
Just in my experience in other fields, specifically in fund development field, one of the things I like to do when communicating with people is peer-to-peer. So if other RALOs have a vice chair and those vice chairs communicating amongst each other, yeah, that peer-to-peer relationship then exists. So that's just one perspective of it, just like the chairs communicate to each other. Thank you.
Due to the fact that Garth is not at this meeting, I'd like to suggest instead of voting on this, to table it to the next meeting, our next Norello meeting, so that we can actually have a vote on this position, if that's an agreement. Alan, please.
I would suggest that if we're going to be asked to vote on the next meeting, that we be given something to consider in preparation for that, not just, again, bringing it up as an agenda item without any real, substance.
So let me summarize. We'll have Garth and I will actually do a summary for a presentation at our next meeting. Okay, thank you. If we can move to the next agenda, is that it? I don't see anybody remotely wanting to comment. Okay. Okay, the third update on operations is ALAC. I can't really speak too much about it, but as you know, I'm moving from, this is my last opportunity as Secretariat, and I'm moving to ALAC, and basically the person who's leaving the position of ALAC is moving to Secretariat is the gentleman beside me on the right. So is there anything operationally that you would like to speak on, Evan?
Not at this point. I'll simply say, based on my experience as chairing Norello previously, my own preference would, whenever possible, to work by consensus rather than by vote, and only act by vote when we really can't come to an internal consensus. In the first few years of Norello, except for votes on personnel, we were just about able to do everything by consensus. I think it was actually a source of pride that we were able to do that kind of thing. And personally, if I had my druthers, we would go back to that as a preferred way of decision making. Thanks. That's about all I have to say operationally.
Thank you. That was Evan Leibovich, former ALAC or still ALAC member. Glenn McKnight, for the record. Can I, before I go to the next section, which is we're waiting for the VP, Christopher Mondini, I'd like to point out to you, in addition to the dedication we did at the beginning of the meeting, we do have a nice card courtesy of Sylvia. She, some of you have signed it, but some of you have not seen it or signed it. So please can before you leave today, have you guys all signed? On your side? Okay. Let me pass it this way, and you can pass it back, and then make sure you get staff signs it as well. Okay, thank you. Glenn McKnight, for the record again. I'm going to table Christopher Mondini's presentation in the interim. He may be here in a few minutes, but Joe, if you don't mind, please. And sorry, again, please state your name. Ariel, thank you for reminding me before you start.
Yeah, this is Joe Catapano. Christopher is on his way. He just texted me for the presentation. He's on his way. He's like in the elevator.
Would you like to start?
I don't think I have the materials for which to start.
You don't have anything?
I don't. Sorry.
Joe doesn't have a presentation, but perhaps since we have his graced with his company, maybe some of the members have any questions for Joe? Anyone remotely? Or as Evan suggests, he's a better chair than me. He's saying we can table that as well. So let's move on quickly to the next. Okay, outreach. One of the Glenn McKnight, again, for the record. The next topic is topic 6. Outreach and the updates on recruitment. The person who is our liaison on outreach is Murray McKetcher. I did not receive a report from Murray on outreach efforts from him, but I can say anecdotally, we've been doing a number of outreach programs in concert with CROP, and I think I'll table the discussion of what CROP things we're doing as outreach till later in the agenda. But fortunately, saved by the bell, Chris has entered the room. And I'll give him a second to settle for a second. So on the agenda, Chris, we have you, number five, for a presentation. Did you need to settle a little bit before we start, or you're okay? Okay, so we're going to turn it over to Chris Mondini.
Sorry, I apologize for being late. This is Chris Mondini. Not only am I late, but I took the wrong elevator and ended up in the executive office of the hotel. So I'm just a little flustered. But tell me, what is the... I hadn't prepared any. I had some overview of just our sort of activities, but...
Again, as the VP for North America, it'd be great for us to hear your vision and your activities and share with the rest of the rural community if that's possible. And then open it to the floor of the membership.
Sure. Well, again, this is Chris Mondini. I've been very gratified to work with this group in a number of areas and some very concrete ways. I have I'm Global Stakeholder Engagement VP for North America. Joe Catapano is the coordinator in the region as well. And together we've tried to team with you in as many areas as possible. And so I heard you mentioning CROP as I walked in. And so you've all been sort of the success story for the CROP program in terms of both uptake, creative ways to use this partner funding program for engagement, and I actually think outcomes. So whether it's even the measurables that are related to the touch points and the people that you've raised awareness with, but also in terms of the new ALSs. I see that as a very successful outcome, and they are to an extent related. Joe, did you? I know that you had been tracking some of the successes that have taken place over the last few months. Was there anything that you wanted to add?
I would echo your comments about the. This is Joe Catapano, by the way. Your comments about the CROP program and the success and sort of outreach there, and I think the. Trying to recall the number of ALSs added off the top of my head, but I don't have it. I think it's 13 since the last in the calendar year. And I think that we had the Aaron meeting previously. Glenn was out there with a lot of brochures and talking to people and getting, gauging interest. And helping that foster that kind of cross-pollination between the technical communities that participate in ARIN and ICANN, and then we wrote about it. We did a joint blog for that, so that has helped with outreach too. I think that at large has been really a very ripe space for. Some of the newcomers, and they've been very ahead of the game and kind of engaging folks and getting them interested in some of these issues.
So this is Chris again. So what's happening here is that Joe and I collaborated on making a nice list of all of the wonderful examples of ways we've worked together, and neither of us is finding the lists on our computers. So rather than try to find that list and recite, it exists, and there are lots of great examples of coordination, but... maybe we should open it up for questions. You asked a little bit about the vision. I think the vision, before we have questions, and I really would get on the same page about it, but continue to partner, continue to either in conjunction as partnerships show up for recruitment of whether it's you need help on new ALSs, whether it's support at meetings, continue to use CROP, do also do a tag team situation. I'll tell you, I know there's one request that came in for a CROP request to go to a conference that I had wanted to go to, but I was unable to go to, so I'm really glad that one of your team, one of your community will be going there. So I really actually feel like in a way that we're extensions of each other in terms of our outreach in the region. And then on a couple of very specific other work groups, we have, you know, good representation from North America at large members on the various work groups, and I think that that's important as well. So really, again, I see, not that I'm trying to foster competition among regions, but I really feel like we're firing on all pistons and doing very well in this region.
One sec, Tony. Glenn McKnight for the transcript. I just want to react to some of the comments you were saying. And as you know, I shared the time with both of you at Aaron in Chicago. Since then, we're working on an MOU with Aaron. And they had the Aaron in Baltimore just recently. And I've been communicating back and forth with Susan on this. And they do a roadshow, which isn't something to emulate as well. But we hope to do an MOU, and as Sylvia can attest to it. She's done research on other railos, and most of them have a relationship, right? Yes. And which is great. And I was talking to a number of them, and Sirenush has some great stories. So I think it's something for us to strive for. So the MOU is still under consideration. We hope to have something real soon. So which is great.
Sorry, go ahead.
Tony's first.
Okay, so when talking about engagements and you, now this being the third meeting to raise the issue, I came through the special mentorship program of ALAC, and it was a really good program. And my understanding that the program was originally designed to be specific to First Nations, because what was happening through the fellowship program is you were bringing a lot of people from developing countries that had a certain level of education and needing to be resourced to be able to participate at this level. That is mirrored within the First Nation communities. So I would be a big supporter and even mover to assist in reviving the original idea of the First Nation Mentorship Program to start bringing the First Nations and Indigenous communities to the table. Because they fall, the program seemed to be designed to reach out to those that fall outside of the developing world definition, but within their own communities defined as third world conditions. So they lack the resources and would require a lot of support to come to this level. So we see where that happens with the United Nations and the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People, which would then kind of be the prelude to them participating in the internet governance field as well. So if there was a way to raise that issue again and look at how can we bring a program designed to focus on First Nations and Indigenous peoples' participation at this level, ensuring they have the necessary resources in the beginning, because as they participate, they start to see the value of resourcing this type of participation on their own in the future. Thank you.
Would you like to respond to him on that? Okay, so the next person in the queue is Evan.
Thanks. You guys, between the two of you, you know about the IGF that happened in Washington and the CIF that happened in Ottawa just last week. It seems a blur already. I'd like to ask what kind of participation you can see ICANN doing now that these two things are underway. It looks like there may be, in fact, a more concerted IGF effort happening in Canada next year. Do you see any kind of specific extended ICANN involvement? And what do you think about the possibility of, along with you folks and ICANN staff, actually having, for instance, some of the community people coming with you as ambassadors, so to speak, to show not only what ICANN is like at the top, but also to give a very, very concrete idea of the grassroots. It's not quite a CROP thing, right? It's not quite an outreach thing. But considering doing that kind of thing And I mean, I'm suggesting it here for North America. It's something that might even be considered globally. But the idea of making use of its grassroots community and showing that as a strength. Last night at the high level meeting that I had with David and Sally and Fadi and all the senior staff, I actually used the term that ICANN actually has the biggest possible focus group that anyone could think of, because in terms of ideas on how to deal with the public and that kind of thing, you've really got a resource here that's ready to work with you, and in fact is desiring to be able to feed up the pyramid. And so I'm just wondering if there's better ways to engage that when you do, you know, when you make when you're talking to government, when you're talking to other bodies within North America, you know, in many cities you'll have a nearby ALS that'll have people that you can bring with you to demonstrate the grassroots. I don't know if that's been considered, but I think it might be worth considering.
Anyone else? I have a. It's Glenn McKnight for the transcripts. One of the things that we were hoping to do after the CIRA Canadian Internet Forum, as you recall, for months of discussion with ISOC, to do a combination of something with ISOC, something with ICANN. But the most interesting thing I think we talked about is the outreach to universities. And that really excites us. And when we were at the event in Ottawa, we spoke with a number of the people at the University of Ottawa, including Michael Geist, who's a pretty prominent person on the CIRA board, as well as a writer from the Toronto Star. And there's a number of great people. So the university outreach sort of thing, whether it's in Puerto Rico or anywhere in the United States or in Canada. So in addition to what Evan says, or compliment what Evan says, I think the university outreach is a prime crowd.
Me too. Thanks, Glenn. This is Chris Mondini. I actually think we're on the cusp of a really good era of engagement across the North America region. And so for a couple of the, everything that you describe actually is sort of ready to go in many respects. So I wanted to actually address what Anthony was saying first about First Nations and Indigenous participation, because of the program that you were brought in under. Does it exist still, or is it gone now? Because I get this question, and I sometimes refer people to Heidi, because it seemed to me that Heidi figured a way to solve the problem, but I didn't know if she solved it in a sustainable, ongoing way, or if she solved it just for one moment in time. Do you know, Anthony?
All I know is that the program I was brought in was in a pilot phase, so I think they're assessing that now to look at the success of it and how they can build upon it. I still need to have that discussion with Heidi as well as a participant in the program, and that's something I'm going to go back to her and find out more about, so maybe we can approach her together.
So I would like to very much weigh in favor of that. And so let us know at what stage. We'll ask, maybe we can ask for as an action item to find out from Heidi what the status of that is and if there's a way that we can participate in the assessment. I would like that very much. Just continuing, and related to that and actually tying it in with what Glenn was saying, I think now for two meetings, we've had also a program which is Next Generation at ICANN. You may have seen some of the young people that are wearing T-shirts. They were at London. They were all from one university, the University of Greenwich, where they took upon it in their graduate school class to do research on internet governance and ICANN's role in it. And in this case, it was a series of invitations that went out via universities and also via the engagement team to people who had touch points with ICANN in the past. And I think we brought 14 university students from across the North America region. That said, as compared to other regions, you know, what would happen in other regions is some of those university students might be from developing economies and therefore fit under the fellowship criteria and then be able to come again and maybe, you know, kind of get one or two meetings under their belt at least to get the foundation. But this came up with North America. They said, oh, well, we don't know. I mean, some of them are exchange students that are studying in the United States and maybe they would qualify. But I would... I would like to make a point in whatever region we're in, and we should talk about the other regions where we do a next-gen outreach, because I know there are student organizations for First Nation and Indigenous individuals that might have tech interests, policy interests, internet interests, and we should add that to an area for consideration. Sometimes they all come from one school, but in the case of North America, we probably could have taken the opportunity to say, oh, let's look specifically for people from these communities that are applying. So I'm going to take that as a note back to the Next Gen team. You can put that on my action items. Go ahead, Glenn.
We have John, then Evan, then Tony, and I think in response to the Next Gen issue. Go ahead, John, please.
Thank you. John LaPriest from for the record. Hi, Chris. Good to see you since EuroSig this summer. I'm going to make some similar comments to ones I made at the ISOC meeting last night, which is given the, if I dare say it, the target-rich environment that the U.S. is, the fact that this room is half empty is not good. I mean, aside from the academic outreach, I don't see outreach into, say, the financial sector, which is dependent upon the internet and who should reasonably be. And in fact, I had conversations at a networking event in Chicago with someone from a credit card clearinghouse. And they're like, yeah, that's actually something we should be involved in. But they're not. It's not that we have a lack of need. They just have to be made aware that we should be involved in this. And again, the U.S. is a very target-rich environment for this, and the lack of the empty chairs in this room is in some ways testament to perhaps areas that need improvement. The other thing I would say is that I also, last summer I was fortunate enough to be on the faculty for ICANN's Middle Eastern School of Internet Governance. There's no reason that that isn't either necessary or useful in a North American context as well. Again, if we're looking at programs that ICANN runs in other in places in the world, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel, and that also is a complement to NextGen. So there's a lot of programs that ICANN has across the organization that might be useful in this context. Thank you.
We have quite a queue. I think, Loris, you also put up your hand, right? Okay.
First thing. John, I wonder if things are you're targeting things a little bit differently. I mean, if a banking association wants to come in, I think their entry point is probably not through at large. There is a business constituency here, and they're trying to do their own outreach. I mean, there's different paths in. At large has a very, very specific community targeted, and I'm not quite sure a banking group would be that. So looking at empty seats around here, your point is taken. I'm just not quite sure that's the right target. My question, I guess, for Chris and for Joe is, I don't know how easily or honestly you can answer this, but given all the things we're talking about, given the ideas about expanded outreach and resources and things like that, the feeling I'm getting based on Fadi's comments on Monday that I suspect are going to be echoing further is that ICANN's about to go into austerity mode. I don't know if I'm characterizing it easily, but things like budget freezes and things like that seem to be a fact of life coming down. How is that thing going to affect requests like you hear here? You know, let's do a new outreach. Let's do a new roadshow. Let's engage universities. If ICANN is about to go on to a budget shrinking / austerity / whatever, can you give us as honest an appraisal as you can of how much we can reasonably expect to see a lot of this kind of expansion of outreach and other programs happen? Thanks.
This is Chris Bondini. That's a good question. I'm very happy to answer it. So I can tell you the budget is not set to shrink, but the budget is set to be held stable. So and there might be some sort of cost of living type, you know, inflation 3-5% type of. So I think the answer to your question, Evan, is that what we've got now is what we can work with. I know that we were asked very hard to look at our own sort of travel budget, sponsorship budgets. We are not. I think we went through a little bit of a period where we felt, well, what really happened is, I think what Fadi explained on Monday, is that the projections of what the income from the fees of the registrations that fund ICANN were less than what the projected were. And so it isn't creating austerity, it isn't shrinking the budget, it's making us have a flat budget. So I would say what we've got now, what we've had over the past year, is what we'll have going forward. That said, your particular group, this particular constituency, I think has been the best at making the most of that, both with crop funds and your activities here. So I don't know if that answers your question. So what I would like to explore are ways, though, in terms of the requests that we're talking about here, is how we can be smarter and work together in a communicative way using the resources we have, which, frankly, are some resources. So, those range from the more formal programs to support travel, to support activities and pilot programs like CROP, or even the program under which Anthony entered as well, and our ability to field requests for, help to sponsor something that we would like to produce. I mean, we do have a little bit of flexibility, but budgets aren't shrinking, they're staying flat. One thing that I think would be helpful, and just to move on to some of the other issues that came up, I agree North America is a target-rich environment, and I totally agree that universities would be an incredibly rich environment. And as we add ALSs, we add more geographies where you have community constituency members that sit there. Which, if we had an ALS in every major metropolitan area, then also it's easier to get them to be a representative. I completely agree with what Evan is saying, what I think I hear him saying, which is, new community recruits would rather hear from existing community members, not from ICANN staff saying how great it is to participate in ICANN, because you're, in fact, the ones that can respond with your experiences. I think it would be... So to that extent, it would be helpful, and I don't know in your outreach efforts, which are considerable, if you target by geographic region, and I don't know if you've sat down and said, the Pacific Northwest, we should really focus there, or, this is something we could look at for the next fiscal year to make sort of a heat map. So that if, maybe we don't have anybody that's in Texas, and we should have somebody that's in Texas, or an organization, or maybe in, Winnipeg or so forth. So that would also help, because then you would have people in each place. Another thing that I've long advocated, and I don't really know where it would originate, but I would love to see this as a... I know many of the ALSs are also ISOC chapters, and it's... It seems to me, for universities, and also now that we've interacted a little bit with university students here at ICANN, that I don't know if you all had a similar experience, but you arrive at university and you kind of look for your clubs that you sign up for. Maybe you'll be part of the Italian club or the chess club or the volleyball team, and so it seems to me it would be great. And because ISOC has kind of a broader umbrella, but it would be great if there were some combination of the internet policy governance club, or the internet policy club, or even the internet club, which you could get technical students and kind of get your multi-stakeholder student group. But again, it's not something. I don't think it's something that it's going to originate here or with us, but it's something we should think about. Because I would love to see, again, a proliferation of sort of campus clubs on this issue. I think that would be a thing that, if we could do it in a way that it kind of goes viral, that would be a great thing to do. The last point was on business and the fact that there aren't that many people here, as John was alluding. For business in particular, but also other new stakeholders and like the local LA crowd, they all came on Monday and they stayed for a couple of hours and then they left. So, and that, and I think they came due to like a lot of Twitter hashtag marketing. So we don't really know who was here, but so there's less of an opportunity to hand them off to you. But this is another thing that we could have thought about, and I think you've done a little bit, though, thinking about potential new Los Angeles-based ALSs or stakeholders that we could have helped target a little more, but maybe you've been doing some of that on your own, that you're here, and maybe if there's anything we can do to support, if you want to work with our counterparts from the engagement team that are in North Africa region to I mean, you have very good representation in North Africa, to do some pre-meeting targeting to help them, guide them through the whole meeting so they actually stay around a couple of days.
Thank you, Chris. We only have 13 minutes left and a lot of agenda items, but we have two in the queue. If they can be short, Tony and then Alan after you.
Okay, Anthony Nigani for the record. Just to get back to the next gen, the focus on that is really good. Just wanted to add to my point, just to ensure there's clarity, is that to ensure that when communicating about Indigenous communities, that they are on the marginal side of the digital divide. That's going to be key, because they're willing to be partners, but they want to work in relationship, not being, as historically done, decisions made for them. And so they do want to participate, but in partnership. Thanks.
Can I turn to Alan? Alan's question.
Thank you. In terms of outreach, I think we have an underserved community that we have largely ignored for most of our existence. We pioneered the concept of unaffiliated members. It's been emulated now by several of the other RALOs and will likely to be propagated to the rest of them. We've ignored it. The number started at about 6, and I think we've grown to 8 now, in 8 years. And one of the two is sitting at the table, and he's brand new, which doesn't say a lot for the first 6 and 7 years. I think it's an easy sell. There's lots of people, if they knew about it, would join, and I think we'd get lots of good real workers. It's not a big commitment. It doesn't cost anything. And if even only 1 out of 10 actually do something, it's a huge gain. And I really think we need to be, when we're talking about outreach, it's not just ALSs, it's people. And universities and all sorts of other places may well be a good source. I really think we've made, not we, Naralo, but we, ALAC and at large, have made a strategic mistake in saying, going out and saying, we're this great organization, join us, but first you have to go find 50 friends. And very often what has happened is an organization joins, but it's really only one person or two people who have any real interest in us. And I think we need to not focus on that somewhat artificial constraint and get people who really want to work and really want to contribute and be part of the organization. So.
Thanks, Alan. Due to time, but this is a great discussion, and I don't mind tabling a lot of the other issues, Chris. So I know we only have 10 minutes left, but it's Alan. And it's actually, I grieve the point that I did not mention that Alan is now taking over as the new chair, and he came from the unaffiliated side, which shows you that there's a great pool there. But I'd like to pass back to you.
Listen, I think you have great leadership with great ideas, so just very happy to implement and team on them. We do we're starting to use more. There's one feature on the ICANN website, which is called Events Near You, and it's got a handy map, and you can click on it and see what the events are. To the extent, if you look at North America, you'll just see that we mostly have the ARIN, the NANOG, the sort of the internet ecosystem regular meetings that are taking place there, because whether it's you know, Joe or myself or actually one of you attending, we have that on the calendar. It's not just where ICANN staff are sending people. It can also be where ICANN community people are sending people. It can be where the ICANN community is setting something up. So, for example, the or internet community is setting something up. So this is going to become more of a landing pad for you to put your, you know, any events that you know of that you want the rider community to know about, and also where we are appearing, because I'm getting a lot of that at this meeting, saying we'd like to team with you, we'd like to be at events with you, we'd like to figure out how to spend our crop money, where you think we should go for a good event, and we're going to be using this tool more to communicate that.
Okay, so let me go back to the schedule. We're going to table the CLUE presentation till next month. We'll bump the other presenter. So Evan was going to do it today, but due to time, we have a few technical accessibility, CROP, GNSO, and ALAC committee reports. I can report on the first two. Technical Task Force and Gordon, who's remote, has been on with Dev. I'm taking on the position of co-chair with Dev in the next year. Technical Task Force has been great. If you are interested in participating, we showcased the captions first last month, and it was fantastic in terms of the translation and service, and very, very good for especially with people that do not have English as their first language. They can translate the script right into, I believe, 27 languages automatically. It's well worth watching the presentation if you have a chance. On Accessibility Task Force, Garth, Jolly, and myself, and Judith are on that committee, and we had a meeting this week, 7 o'clock in the morning, and we did a SWOT and a SMART analysis. Moving forward, CROP. We've only had two submissions that in right now. Judith for Southwest and myself to go back to N10, which is a not-for-profit event in March. There's logistical issues on registration, and I'm working with Robert and staff on that. I think we're getting some best practices done there. But Evan, have you submitted your CROP application?
Still working on that, and it should be in your hands by month's end.
Okay, so that means we have two left. Please, let's not lose this opportunity. We had one that ended up by Constantine ending being in the wrong dates because it went into June because of the fiscal period. But I thought we did really good use of the CROP money, and we appreciate it. I think we did a pretty good job reaching out. And I understand we need to get more numbers. We need to, you know, this treat it as a marketing opportunity. When you go there, it's not to meet with friends, but it's an outreach opportunity. So if you want some advice how to do it, please ask me. I'm maniacal when I go to it. So I assure you, I meet a lot of people. So, you know, it's a great opportunity. So if there's two other spots, so please look at your agenda. They need 8 weeks lead time, okay? So, Eduardo, I talked to Alan. Alan says he wasn't interested in it. He's got other methodologies. So, John or Lars or okay, make sure it fits in within our agenda, please. You need to come up, do the research on it, and submit it to our meeting so that we can, as a group, assess it and approve it. It falls in within our outreach strategy, okay? Okay, if I can turn to Alan, can you say a few words on GNSO? Any report on that?
Not really. There's a large focus on the IANA transition and accountability, clearly. And they have a whole bunch of PDPs going, and there's going to be a lot more work starting regarding who is potentially new GTLDs. Take a look at what they're doing and join. Start participating.
Okay, Alan said a real great idea. If you're not on any working committees, and I may be amiss, I think, Tony, you're on the accessibility and committee. But if you're not on a working committee, that's really a great way to be integrated into the ICANN space. So, Evan?
Giving a small thing on what the ALAC is working on this week. There is a motion that came about as a result of the GTLD working group meeting that happened the other night. There is a resolution being prepared to be voted on that has to do with public interest commitments. There's a serious concern about the state of it, even though some of the contracts have been signed. There is still what's considered to be a very significant deficit between what the community thinks is in the public interest and what the public interest commitments actually deliver. So there is a statement on that being developed. You may have received a message from Heidi asking you to have a look at the page, leave comments if you like, and ALAC will be voting on it at its meeting, I believe, Thursday morning. Thanks.
No, I just want to add to the ALAC business. Can I?
No.
Okay, so there was a, during this week also, we have met with the ALAS 2 implementation workforce. There are 43 recommendations that have been filtered through or sent to various of our working groups. And we met with the board and you know, we start chatting about this. And hopefully by the next ICANN meeting, we will have something more concise about these recommendations that we put together from ALAS 2. And most of the conversation in the ALAC this week has been the NTI transition too, so I think everybody's focused on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have to be at another room in a few minutes, back to the Olympic room for our next meeting promptly, and I'm concerned about staff because they need to set stuff up. But is there any other business that you'd like to mention that's a burning issue? Okay. Yes, sir.
I'll try to make it 30 seconds. This is talking about outreach issues. We'd love to have your feedback on our North America newsletter that Joe and I work on. Let us know, even informally, how that's working for you. If you do find in your outreach activities that you meet people and collect business cards and you don't have an easy way to kind of keep a touch point for them, Joe maintains it's essentially a spreadsheet by stakeholder category of new contacts we've made in the North America region, so that at a minimum, 3 times a year, the name ICANN will appear in their inbox. So if you would like to add to that list, we welcome that. And then related too is on these issues of IANA stewardship transition and ICANN accountability, I'm finding these issues are bringing in sort of the general public a little bit more. So again, I think I heard you touch on that, but to the extent you can convert that into an outreach opportunity, I'm seeing that across the stakeholder groups, so it might be something helpful for you as well. Thank you.
Glenn McKnight for the transcript. Thanks everyone for joining us. We're going to conclude the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.